Aldridge is here to speak with us, and I will share a little bit about her so you can get to know her a little bit. So Megan and Jason have been married for 10 years, and before kids, Megan was a NICU nurse, which she loved. Now her husband Jason works for Navigators, and they are particularly reaching out to international students that are here in Indianapolis. So their children are Lucy, who is 5, Noelle is 4, and Gabriel is 9 months old. We asked her which of her children is most like her and why. She said that Lucy has a sensitive heart and hair that she does not know what to do with. Noelle loves sips of coffee, and that they both love to sing loudly, which is very much like her. We asked her when she is most tired during the day and what she does about it. She said she's most tired in the mid-afternoon, and she'll lay down for about 15 minutes and make another cup of coffee. But she is slowly working her way towards doing Pilates instead. I love your optimism. That's great. And then, so in keeping with our Run with Endurance theme, we asked her what her favorite way to exercise was, which she said it was swimming laps, that she grew up swimming. It is perfect cardio and resistance without even feeling it. And then her favorite way to relax is swinging in the hammock with someone she loves. All right, come on over, Megan. I first met Megan here in Mom's Connection.
Pink table.
4 years ago.
Yeah,
at the pink table. So I was the brand new mom that had no idea what was happening. And
same.
Mm-hmm. No, Megan was a slightly older mom that had a little more experience. That I was very helpful and thankful for. So I'm going to pray for Megan, and then she will share with us. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this sister in Christ, and I thank you for her willingness to come and speak with us today. Lord, I know that you have been leading her preparation, and I just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through her now, because, Lord, we are weary moms. I am a weary mom. I know what it feels like to have my responsibilities, my children, and all the things that I must do feel like they are a weight on my heart. And Lord, sometimes that is my fault, my sin, just the sinfulness in this world in which I live that can warp those beautiful things into things that make me feel so tired and so worn out. So Father, we need your Holy Spirit. We need you to teach us, God, how to handle these responsibilities in a healthy and Christ-centered way. So I pray, God, that you would come and speak to us this morning through Megan. And I just pray that that you would be here. In your holy name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right, thanks, Vanessa. Good morning, sisters. I'm really happy to be here. Again, I love Mom's Connection. I love what God is doing here. I love the minivan parade. I love the stroller parade. I love the bouncing babies. Truly, God really used Mom's Connection in my life to form a tribe of like-hearted women, people who were pursuing Jesus and figuring out all the complicated things tired together. I love the brunch. I forgot about that part until I was getting ready, and I was like, moms know how to do breakfast. So I'm really thankful to be here. Know that your leadership loves you. I just have loved communicating with them and hearing how much they pray for you and know what your needs are. So yes, I'm sharing this morning encouragement for the weary moms, and my qualification is that I am loved by Jesus and dwell by the Spirit and tired. I'm so tired too. In fact, I really loved the question that you had for intros last year, or maybe it was last year, a few years ago, which was a funny sleep-deprived moment. So I thought I'd start by sharing one of a friend who, when her baby was a few weeks old, she started getting these Amazon packages delivered to her house, and she thought, someone is being so kind, and it was actually herself. Like, she was ordering stuff for herself in the middle of the night and forgot about it, and finding out about it in the morning and thinking, okay, gotta find something else to do, but hooray for Amazon shopping. And then for myself, when my daughter Lucy was born, we were living in Japan, and our whole house didn't have central heating, so we were all in this one little room, like you are usually with your little tiny baby. So we kind of did all of the late night stuff together in this little room. So, you know, it was a big giant fog of cluster feeding, and I don't know when we were awake and when we were asleep, but I remember waking up one morning and asking my husband, I was like, did I dream this, or did you just sing Whoomp There It Is to our baby for a lullaby? He was like, that's what came to my mind. And that, what are you going to do? So there are plenty of good hymns, but that's what came to his mind. And it wasn't just that he sang it. He knew way more than I ever thought he could know. So that's what happens growing up in the 90s. Okay, so by way of a story and sharing a little bit about what my heart is for you this morning. I'm going to tell you a little story and an encouragement that my friend gave me. So we went out to Colorado Springs, which is where the Navigators headquarters is. I thought, hey, this is great. I was really optimistic. Let's take our whole minivan and drive all the way out there. The way that our schedule worked, we only had one day to make it. We didn't do the, like, divide it up into 2 days. So we had our audiobooks and we, you know, trucked it all the way out there. We were so exhausted when we got there, but we made it. It was fine. And I got just laid out with altitude sickness the first couple days that we were there. I mean, I was really miserable. I thought I had the flu or something. And here we have to get ready for this conference, and my husband's going to be having these meetings. And I was completely miserable. We are all ladies here, so I'm not going to go into details. But I will tell you that high altitude flatulence is a thing. It's really terrible. That's all I'm going to say. It's recorded. Anyway, so I reached out to some of my friends and I said, I need you to pray. I'm exhausted. I feel miserable. I was bone tired. And my friend, who's an older, wiser woman, was really wonderful and compassionate, which I probably needed. But she sent me this text message. She said, oh, Megan, that really does sound so trying. Bear up under it and take care of your baby so that Jason can do what he needs to do, and encourage him. This is where God has you. And the reason why that one text message spoke to me so much is because she had tender compassion, but she also exhorted me and gave me actual encouragement for what I needed to do without it sounding too harsh. So that's my hope for you this morning, is that I would encourage you that Christ has tender compassion on you in your exhaustion, and three thoughts that Jesus himself gives to us as weary moms from his own mouth. So I'm going to pray again. Jesus, thank you that you love these women. Thank you that you were up all night as they were up all night, or you watched over them when they got precious little sleep. Thank you that you are our good shepherd. Thank you that you are our wonderful counselor, and that you have things to say to us from your word. And I pray that you would speak to us this morning, and that you would transform us by your word, which is living and active. It's in your precious Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So my first point is that Christ has understanding for your weariness and tender compassion. Hebrews 4:14-15 says, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus himself is near to us in our exhaustion. He knows. We might carry the bags under our eyes of exhaustion, and he carries in his body the scars of what it costs for him to give us life. Infinite, almighty God willingly bore our human frailty that you and I wear today. He grew weary. He was surrounded by throngs of people pressing in with needs and expectations of him. He was tempted to overwhelm by repetitive questioning. I want us to consider this really familiar story that we all know about Jesus, but think about it through your lens of exhaustion as a mom. It was when he calmed the storm. So this all happened after a full day of work. He was surrounded on all sides by the sickest members of society, pressing in and needing him to receive healing. The crowds were everywhere that he went. He was answering pressing questions over and over and over. I think you've been there. And finally, he found a moment that would afford him a little tiny bit of sleep, only to be awoken again by frantic disciples that were convinced that he had forgotten about them and left them to die in the boat during the storm. And the miracle of his human life is that he endured all of this bone tiredness while maintaining perfect patience, joy, kindness, and love, among other perfect qualities. That is really good news to me, and I hope it's good news to you too. At the end of your rope, with vomiting children all night, you finally get them to bed, the laundry's done, and then you get sick yourself. Or when you're cooking dinner for your family and a tiny little precious toddler is clinging to your leg and you don't have an inch of spare or personal space. Or for me, when my 4-year-old asks me 100 times a day, how do you make a car? I don't know. I still don't know. But there are YouTube videos on repeat of car assembly lines, so it's good. It's 2018. Or when I intervene, another sibling squabble, wanting to speak truth and also being exhausted that this is still a sin issue in our house. Or when I finally conk out on the couch for 10 minutes, only to be woken up by tiny little fingers poking my face and wondering if I forgot about snack time. No, I didn't. I did not forget about snack time. So yes, moms, I know that your exhaustion is real, and your loving and precious Savior knows too. And not only does he know, but he cares, and he is active in giving our souls rest. Psalm 23 tells us, I know that this is familiar to you all, but he's the good shepherd, and he knows where the green grass is for us to lay down and rest. He knows where the still waters are for our souls to drink. If we follow our shepherd, he knows our weariness. He knows our needs far better than anything or anyone in this world, and he will be the one to meet our needs. Also this, that your loving Father, he's not disappointed in your tiredness. He is all-powerful, but you are not. He does not slumber, says Psalm 121, but we are humans, and we need sleep, so it's okay that you're exhausted when you don't get it. He is all-knowing, but the secrets to making a baby sleep are not always revealed to us. He can be at all places at all times, but you cannot. You only have two arms. And that can be really hard. I remember distinctly the first time that I had a crying baby in my arms. She was our second child, so I was ready for a break, and I wanted to hand her over to my husband, and his arms were full of another crying baby. I am not, I'm not all sufficient, and neither are you. He does not expect you to operate outside of your God-given limitations. It is an act of worship when we come to him with a humble posture, acknowledging that we are small and frail and fragile as his sheep, but he is strong and perfect. He is God, we are not. And I know that that's basic information. I know that's Christianity 101, but our weariness does serve a purpose of drawing us close to him. And weariness that draws us close to him is never a waste. I want to give a quick caveat that while your shepherd knows and he sustains your body and your physical health, and I want to speak mostly to the spiritual implications of that, some of you dear ones may be suffering from exhaustion related to an underlying physical condition that needs specific help, and there is no shame in that. I lived a whole season of my life, actually before we had kids, that I was sure that there was some kind of spiritual thing going on and that I was the laziest person in the world, or I just wasn't physically strong enough, only to find out that there was an underlying autoimmune disorder. That's totally fine now, but I've had conversations with other women about chronic pain, postpartum, post-adoption, depression, anxiety, Lyme disease, fibromyalgia. There are a whole myriad of things that could be contributing to fatigue. And I just hope that you'll consider if your body is giving you signals for an underlying need for special attention. So mostly what I'm going to be speaking from this morning is Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And in light of the truth that I just shared, that your Savior knows you and he loves you and he is with us in the middle of our exhaustion, I want us to think that that is the Savior who is giving us these words. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I have three thoughts from that passage that Jesus himself says. First, he invites us to come. And here's my question to you. Have you come to Jesus in the first place? Is there peace between you and God? Meaning, have you trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and surrendered your life to him to transform you? The first and greatest and most surpassing need that our souls have for rest is to rest in the rescuing work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus invites us to commune with him through salvation. John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And finally, Isaiah 30th chapter, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. That word quietness that he says there means to be tranquil, to be at peace, to be undisturbed. I know that that's what our hearts long for, and we find that first and foremost in the rescuing work of Jesus. So if you've been walking with Jesus for a while, you're living in repentance, please keep coming to him. He is your bread of life. He is your living water. Cultivate friendship with Jesus by spending time in his word. It's 2018, the beginning of the year. A lot of you are restarting your Bible reading plans. Don't do it with a hopeless heart. You can continue to meet with him. I can really truly identify with the struggle of finding time and space to meditate on his word. And again, our Savior does model placing a priority on time in the, with the Father. Mark 1:35 finds Jesus retreating away from the urgency of the crowds and what the disciples expect of him so that he can spend time in prayer. If he, who is God himself, sacrifices his urgent and busy schedule, we can follow him, and he will give us grace to do the same thing. And if you're in a stage right now where you feel like there are a million barriers between you coming to Jesus and quiet prayer and Bible reading time, I know your house is loud and it feels like I would get up early and then my kids would get up earlier. And then I would get up early, my kids would get up earlier. I know what that is like. And I would just encourage you to ask a woman that you respect how she did it, what that looks like for her, because while I love the moments where I have actual quiet time and my Bible and my coffee and it looks nice, Jesus can speak to you even in the midst of your chaos. He really can. So ask older women how they made it work, how they continued to persevere. I have gleaned such wisdom and encouragement in the practical ways of making this work from older women who have spoken truth to me. Jesus invites you to come to him. We daily have the choice between being anxious and troubled about a great many things, like Martha. And sisters, I know there are a great many things to be troubled and anxious about. Or to choose the good portion and sit at his feet and learn. Come to Jesus. Spend time in his word. Listen to scripture aloud on the Bible app over and over and over. Your kids already want to listen to the same thing anyways. It might as well be the word of God. Get in a group inductive Bible study. Talk to God. Memorize his word so that it replaces the voices of the world that only add to our weariness. This does require laying something aside. Do it anyways. He is inviting you, and we will find the rest that our souls need when we come to him. If time in the word isn't something that you already do regularly or you feel like you're kind of needing a refresher, I would really love to talk to you about that and pray together about how God might make that a new thing for you in this new year. And I know that your leaders in this group are happy to share the wisdom that they have as well. So who is this invitation to come actually for? In this particular instance, he doesn't actually say, come everybody. He says, come weary and heavy laden. And that word weary means those who labor, exhausted with toil or burdens or grief. Doesn't that describe motherhood? That's exactly who you are. To work hard and to feel fatigue. That word heavy laden is burdened, weighed by religious rituals that provide no peace. To have a burden placed upon. And the original context of this is that he was wanting to replace the massive burdens that the Pharisees had been placing on the people, and Jesus himself was saying that his burden is easy and his yoke is light. So I'm guessing that these words could describe each of you in varying degrees. His invitation to come in this passage is conditional on being at the end of yourself. If you find yourself weary, instead of despairing and hopelessness, that maybe you'll never have energy again, that's the very thing that qualifies you to come to Christ. He says a similar invitation in Isaiah 55. Oh, I love this. This is such good news. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Sisters, let's come to Jesus. Second, he says to take his yoke and learn from him. The yoke that this world wants to offer you is false hope of rest through escape. Many of these things, while there are some things that are sinful escape, some of them are not necessarily sinful or wrong or disobedient. But anything that offers rest that won't last or it circumvents our need for Jesus is not rest at all. And we will either put ourselves under the yoke of the world with its shifting standards and its ever-changing hope, or the easy and light yoke of Jesus, the Rock of Ages. These are thoughts that I've had to myself, and again, these are not necessarily sinful. I just want you to think of the hope that I'm trying to place myself in, or myself, or things that I've heard other sisters talk about. If I could just get one full night of sleep, if I could just get a break from my kids, if I could just go to the bathroom without tiny little fingers under the door trying to pry it open, you've been there. If I could just get out with the girls tonight, just get to the gym, or even just out of my house for a run a couple times a week, If my husband just worked different work hours, if I could get some more help, if I could have an hour of quiet during nap time, if I could just get this one organizing project finished, if I could just have a sick-free house, if I could just have in-laws who live in town, if I could just hit the drive-thru for coffee, if I could just have an afternoon to myself. And the list goes on. Please hear me that none of these things that I just said are wrong or bad in and of themselves, but if they are in their rightful place, submitted to Christ. But if we seek them first, believing in our hearts that the change of circumstance is what will provide the rest that we long for, we are placing that if only on the throne of our heart that rightfully belongs to Jesus. I recommend for sure the book Treasuring Christ When Our Hands Are Full by Gloria Furman. I'm guessing you've probably read this. But she says, we must be hoping in Christ. Too often my hope is in the ever-changing circumstances. I say things like, I really need the baby to take a nap this morning, which is a fine thing to say and a fine thing to look forward to. But if come lunchtime and that nap hasn't happened and I'm so emotionally wasted that it ruins my afternoon, I have probably put more faith in that nap than in the never-changing gospel. And learning from him, he is the wonderful counselor. Ask him. We all have different things that we need in this specific wisdom to get rest. James 1:5 promises that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. I don't know what the Holy Spirit would direct you in terms of what you need for rest. I don't know how many there are in the room here, but you all have different needs, and Jesus alone is the one who needs that. So I can't stand here and tell you what it is that you need. But perhaps the Holy Spirit would help you by knowing that you need to go to bed earlier so you can wake up and meet with him. Or maybe you need to take a nap. Or maybe you need to reach out for help. Or maybe God is asking you to bear up under the circumstances by his grace. He knows, and he'll teach you if you ask. So as we're obeying Jesus' invitation to come, we're also coming with a posture of learning, which is taking his yoke, his way of living, and replacing it with the world or our own yoke. And then the promise, you will find rest. This is a promise from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. And he proved his promises are true by defeating sin and death with the empty grave. No one knows you like your shepherd knows you. And he knows the exact type of rest that you need. On my kitchen cabinets and in my mirrors in my house, or sometimes just written in the quiet of my heart, is a record of this kind of soul rest. Scripture that he spoke to me in bleak hopelessness of exhaustion and how it pierced my soul with his truth and his goodness in a way that no earthly rest could touch. I also hope that you'll be agents of rest to each other. God has given us the gift of community. Some of you, he has given you really godly husbands to seek the needs of one another. Offering rest in the way of bringing meals or offering to watch each other's children during particular difficult season, sending notes or text messages of encouragement, being mindful of your sisters who may not have a support system like you do, praying out loud together. Jesus is our soul rest, but what a joy he has given us to be agents of extending his love to each other in tangible ways. Experience his love and rest by serving each other as well. So I want to finish this morning because a lot of what I have shared so far is just really big, kind of nebulous, true, but just very kind of cloudy truths. They're good, they're real, but I always want to know, how do I bring this down into the moment when I'm totally exhausted? And here's an example of how God has done that in my life. Several years ago, when motherhood was basically brand new to me, I found myself in a very deep and dark valley. I had thyroid issues. I probably had some kind of postpartum depression or anxiety, but I didn't know it. I had brokenness in my extended family. It was the winter of the polar vortex. Do you remember that? Oh, my word. The whole city was a mess. We had an international move. We had career changes. My husband and I had to make life-altering decisions, and we were not on the same page. We had our physical belongings on two sides of the Pacific Ocean, and we're trying to start all over again. I had a terrible sleeping baby. It is amazing the desperation that will come, the things that we tried to get that baby to sleep. We were hemorrhaging financially, and the cumulative effect of being weary unearthed and revealed in my heart sin of anger. And then my daughter started having blood-boiling temper tantrums, and that almost sent me all the way over the edge because I feared so much not knowing how to shepherd her. So much of discipling my children was brand new to me, and I had not an idea what I was doing, and I responded in great fear and anger. I needed a million solutions in all areas of my life. But here is how Jesus gave rest in that one place where I needed it. In coming to Jesus, he gave me countless scripture. Pastor Mark was preaching a lot through areas of anger, and there were a lot of things that God was doing from his word to help replace the anger with righteous responses. But Jesus also taught me this, that when she was having another meltdown, instead of my own human response, I learned to hold her flailing arms and to sing into her ear. Be Still My Soul became the anthem of answering both of our temper tantrums, hers that was external and obvious, and mine that was just a little bit more refined and covered up and adult. The presence of Christ in that moment transformed everything. He brought stillness to my soul that was far bigger than the overwhelm of my life. Sisters, please hear me. Coming to Jesus and taking his yoke upon me, it didn't change anything about my circumstances. The temper tantrums didn't lift immediately, and neither did the thousands of other things that I wanted to find solutions. In fact, once you would find one solution, then you would find another issue that comes up. When I talk to my sisters who have our mothers of teenagers, they tell me that they're exhausted too. It just isn't in a physical way. So that's coming. It didn't allow me to escape weariness, but in coming to Jesus and taking his yoke upon me, it brought the soul rest that I needed far greater than any kind of temporary escape. And this is what I have been praying for you in this time of life as well, that you would know that you are deeply loved and seen in your exhaustion by God, and that you are invited by Jesus to come to him in your exhaustion, take his easy and light yoke and learn from him and receive his rest for your soul.
Thank you, Megan. All right, ladies, you have discussion questions at your table. Please enjoy.